Daniel chapter 7, if you'll be making your way there. want to say thank you for several things. Thank you for your warm welcome. There is a very warm spirit among the folks here, those whom we've talked with. And as my wife and I have traveled for years, missionaries on deputation, we've not always found that in every church. You have made us feel very welcome. Thank you for that wonderful service this morning. And it was just a privilege to witness that and to see your welcoming Pastor Waddell and our family, our children, as they have come here to serve and serve alongside of you. And thank you for that great meal this afternoon, and we just have been very blessed and refreshed. For those of you who are preachers, you'll understand this comment, but you know when the Lord lays a message on your heart, and you're just wondering, is this really what the Lord wants me to preach? But how encouraging it is when the Lord gives us confirmation, so to speak. The song there, "My Life Is Yours to Control," I have never heard that before. But the words, the lyrics of that song go very well with the message the Lord has laid on my heart to give you tonight. And as it's talking about victory, and it's talking about yielding ourselves, running and not fainting, and running our race, and the Lord controlling our life. And I really appreciate the choice of that song. And appreciate the Lord giving me some confirmation that what we're going to look at tonight, we trust it will be a profitable time together here in the Word of God. And here in Daniel chapter 7, this is a prophetic passage. I'm not speaking on prophecy tonight, but this was a vision that was given to Daniel about end time events. And particularly things that relate to the Great Tribulation period, the Antichrist, and the beast. And I'm going to begin reading Daniel chapter 7, begin reading in verse 21. But as I read, I want you to notice there's some very strong language here about those end-time events that are at the core of this vision given to Daniel. And I begin in verse 21 of Daniel chapter 7. "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast," this would be the angel that was given the message of the vision to Daniel. "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings." And in particular now, verse 25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time." And I direct your attention back there to verse 21, that this horn, which is one of the leaders that rises up within world governments, made war with the saints. And then in verse 25, that he shall speak great words against the Most High, going to be railing against God. And then in particular, the next phrase, "and he shall wear out the saints." of the Most High. Now, while the details of this vision are about a yet future event, these are still prophetic in the sense that they are unfulfilled in the scope of prophecy. Don't skim over these so easily and brush them off as if they had nothing to do with you and with me. Because some of these things that we have just pointed out in these scriptures, they give us some very important understanding of what God's enemy is after, of what Satan's intentions are. And Satan desires to destroy us. He desires to devour us. He desires to steal our salvation. But praise the Lord, he can't do any of those. Because God is sovereign, God keeps Satan under control, and God gives us grace and enablings for us to be able to endure the adversities and the afflictions that oftentimes come our way. And verse 25 in particular, that phrase, "and he shall wear out the saints." And that's actually our subject matter tonight, is don't become a worn out saint. Don't become a worn out saint. And I had prepared this and was thinking through this, Pastor Mark, I went back to the thought you gave us this morning about loyalty, and this would, being worn out is part of the flip side of being loyal. And I'll read Pastor Mark's definition. The definition that was on his notes of loyalty is using adversity to confirm my commitment to those to whom God has called me to serve. So adversity being used to confirm my commitment to serve those to whom God has called me to serve. And what does it take to stop me? What does it take to stop you? Now let's take a moment here and just consider what it means for something to wear out. It means to render it inoperative, unusable. Now, while Satan cannot destroy us, he cannot devour us, he cannot steal our salvation, he certainly has the intention of, okay, I want to render these good folks inoperable and unusable in the service of God. It means to make something useless or something ineffective, for something to wear out. Down in East Tennessee, we have a lot of yard art, my neighbor would call it, Warren, yard art. It's a car that just quit working. And it's there where it stopped working 20 years ago. And then the one next to it is there where it stopped working 10 years ago. And certainly that is an indication of things that wear out. They become useless or ineffective. Also, for something to wear out, it can become permanently damaged and actually irreparable. It is beyond repair. Now, if it happens to cars and lawnmowers and blenders and our toothbrush, we just go get another one. But we're talking about here from the book of Daniel, where Satan has the intention of wearing you out, wearing me out. And we don't just go to Walmart and buy another Christian. We don't order another one on Amazon. You and I, we need to be guarded, because Satan is literally conducting warfare. This planet on which we live is a battlefield. There is blood being shed, and I'm not talking about just in Chicago, that there are lives that are being lost. And it may not always be the physical life that is lost, but a spiritual life that is lost. And, you know, some of you, you look around at some of the empty spaces here, you might think of someone who used to occupy such a space. Where did they go? What happened to them? And that is, they very well could have become worn out. And this is where people, God's people, are in Satan's sight for him to wear them out. Satan wants to wear out this church. This church has a long history and a long heritage, and we have only just begun to understand a little bit about the richness of what God has done here for decades, and the souls that have been saved and lives that have been changed. And what a wonderful testimony of God's goodness and God's grace, and the work that God is doing to keep a light shining here in this part of the country, and then helping to send light in other places around the world. And so we're talking about some things that are very valuable, some things that have great value, some things that are very important when we're talking about not becoming a worn-out saint. And so I want to lay out a few things here, and my mind is kind of analytical by nature and mechanical by nature, and I fix things and repair things and build things and break a few things, but then see how I can fix some of the things that are broken. But I want to point out, first of all, how things break or why things break. And again, we're not just talking about stuff here tonight. We're talking about people. So, but the things that I want to point out here on how or why things break, it can apply to lawnmowers, but it can certainly apply to our lives and the life of God's people together in the church. First of all, things wear out because of friction. All right? Friction, where two things are continually rubbing together. In an engine where a crankshaft is rotating in its bearings, and if those two pieces of metal, the crankshaft and the bearing, are allowed to rub together for very long, something is going to go kaplooey. It's going to blow up. Putting that over into the people compartment. I don't know what your lingo is around this part of the country, but do you all say, "Well, he just rubs me the wrong way"? Okay. All right, you all speak English. Okay. He just rubs me the wrong way. There are people, I hear people using the little phrase now when there's a little problem or a little friction that's going on, well, that's the rub. That's the rub. And it's talking about that friction, things rubbing together, that if it rubs together very long, something's going to get worn out. There's going to be some heat generated and maybe even a fire started. So things wear out because of friction. They also wear out because of misuse. Misuse. That is where something would be used in a way that it was never designed to be used. Okay? Kind of like, now fellas, this is not a suggestion. I know there are some young and impressionable men here, but this is not a suggestion. It's only an illustration. You need to mix up a wheelbarrow full of concrete. You don't want to do that with the hoe. So when your wife's not looking, you go in and you get the mixer. Okay? Now, ladies, make sure that the men understand. I'm trusting you to keep this all balanced here. You can mix up concrete with a blender. But you're not going to mix up very much concrete with a blender or with a mixer, and you're not going to be able to use that mixer for much after you have mixed that little bit of concrete, because a mixer was that kitchen mixer was never designed to be used for mixing cement. And so things can wear out because of friction. They can wear out because of misuse. Things can also wear out because of the presence of foreign objects that get into the into the workings of things. Just a half a cup of sand in a gas tank on a car can literally destroy a $5,000 engine. Water getting into the wrong places can destroy very expensive mechanisms. The presence of foreign objects and contamination that occurs. A friend of mine was telling me about a manufacturing facility he used to work at, and a disgruntled employee got a modest handful of loose nuts and bolts and opened up the service door on the side of a multi-million dollar machine and threw those in there and closed up the machine and walked away. And the next day when they brought that machine online to use it, that little, probably $1.50 to $2 worth of loose nuts and bolts did over $1 million worth of damage to that manufacturing machine. And you know, there are applications of these things that we can bring into our lives as well. The presence of foreign objects that come into the lives of human beings, and even into the lives of Christians, drug dependency, prescription drug dependency, alcohol, other things like that Satan works to his advantage to bring those foreign things into our life with the idea of wearing us out. And so, again, just to review here, things wear out because of friction, because of misuse, because of allowing foreign objects to become present. Things can also wear out because of corrosive things that come into the system. Something as serious as acid being put into the wrong mechanism could wear that out. Or it could be something as mild as water. Water is corrosive. It's not corrosive to us because of the way God designed our bodies to make use of water. But you put water into a certain type of machinery or some other object, put water into a computer. Okay, need I say more? I think we're pretty familiar with all of that. And corrosion can cause things to wear out. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12, if you will. We'll just draw from the scriptures on a good scriptural example of something corrosive, destructive, that finds its way into the lives of people. It's looking to find its way into your life, into my life as well. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It warns us here. In fact, it admonishes us to be looking diligently, being guarded, so that a root of bitterness, so that bitterness does not take root in us and then spring up and then do its destructive work where it troubles us and defiles us. Our lives were never designed to be vessels of bitterness. Bitterness is one of those things that destroys the vessel in which it is carried. Someone told me once about a guy that he invented an acid that could eat through everything. It could literally eat through anything. The problem is he couldn't find a container to keep it in. And the last that he heard, it was about 150 miles down in the middle of the earth. Now, that's not a true story, just an example. But that is really what happens with bitterness, is that it destroys the vessel in which it's carried. We were never designed to carry bitterness. Corrosive things like lust. The Bible warns us against inordinate affections. Loving the wrong things. Loving things that were never meant to be loved by us. So friction and misuse and the presence of foreign objects, as well as the introduction of corrosive things, it not only can destroy these things that have become so much a part of our life, there's a spiritual counterpart to those, to where they will wear us out and ruin us as well, and we need to be guarded against them. And just another one here we'll throw into this. Neglect. Neglect can wear things out. Don't check the oil in your car. There will come a time of when the oil will have been used up in the engine, it will have leaked out, or it will have just disappeared, and the engine will wear out just because someone neglected to check the oil and to fill it, to top it up properly. And again, this is about more than just our stuff. So that is just a little bit of the how and why that things wear out. Let me talk here for a few moments about how to know when something is wearing out. How do we know when something's wearing out? Well, sometimes we know something's wearing out by the sound it makes, the squeaking, the grinding, the banging, the squealing, or the rubbing of something. That if we start our car and I'm only going to do this one time. Don't say, would you say that? Would you make that sound again? So, but we start up the engine and we hear a clunk, a clunk, a clunk, a clunk, a clunk, a clunk. No, I'm not going to do it again. Okay. That we need to pay attention to that sound that's going on, that started at the same time that we turned on the engine to the car, and or we step on the brake pedal and we hear this heavy grinding noise. Listen to that. And now I know some folks, and we're not going to pick on the younger folks, but that where the radio is cranked up so loud that as soon as they turn on the key, that the radio it covers up all of those important noises that the car is trying to make to tell us something is wrong. You might not hear those. So take a little time, turn down the radio, listen to the car. Not the radio. Listen to the car from time to time. But we know that things are wearing out sometimes by the sounds that it makes. That happens to people also. Sounds that people make. Complaining. Murmuring. Moaning. Just a really nasty attitude. Now, I'm not going to say that that has never happened to me, because I think it has happened to me, that I've unfortunately made some of the wrong sounds because I was being worn out by some things. You and I can listen to some sounds that our fellow believers, maybe our family, is making. Take notice of those and not ignore them, not sweep them under the rug, but pay attention to those and then begin praying. God, I think there's something that's wearing out in the life of my brother or my sister, my son or my daughter, or so on and so forth. God, I'm asking you to show me what I can do to help bring this matter to where it can be corrected. We know sometimes things are wearing out because of the sounds they make. Sometimes we know things are wearing out by the way that they act. We put the key in the car, and it didn't start. Okay, it's not acting right. I turned the key, and it did not act the way it was supposed to. It could be the starter. It could be the battery. It could be the switch. It could be the fuel pump. It could be any number of things. So the way that things are acting sometimes will tell us that something is wearing out. Or sometimes it starts, but then it doesn't stop when it's supposed to stop. We moving out, car started, we're moving out on the road, and coming up to a stop sign, and we put on press the brake pedal, and whoa, nothing happens. Okay? Something is wearing, has become worn out. Maybe it's the brakes. Or sometimes things quit all of a sudden. Another way that we know things are wearing out is when it begins coming apart. Pieces go missing. Or maybe we find a piece lying on the ground or on the floor. And, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. Someone's cleaning up, and there under the dining room table, yeah, my wife doesn't do this, by the way, just so don't think that there's a subliminal message here. There's a screw laying on the floor. Okay? I mean, did that thing just spontaneously appear? No, it had to come from somewhere. But sometimes people just pick it up. What's that screw doing? And they throw it away and never give another thought to, I wonder if that came out of the table or out of the chair or what. Sometimes that happens to our car. A part laying on the ground, a bolt or a bracket. And, what's that junk doing in the driveway? And we throw it away and we don't give it. We're not paying attention to the post-it note that's there. There's something that's starting to wear out here. And we need to give some diligent thought to that. So things wear out. Those are a few ideas of how we know some things are wearing out. But I want to get to this real quickly in the last few minutes we have here. How to prevent things from wearing out. And again, don't apply this to our stuff. Let's apply this to you and me. And we're going to be in Psalm 133 here in in just a few moments. But one of the things that we can do to keep things from wearing out is to apply lubrication. Now that just sounds like a really odd fitting point to a sermon in church on Sunday. Lubrication? Really? I bet that missionary's got a can of WD-40 in his pocket. No, I left it in the car. But here's what I want you to understand. Throughout the scriptures, oil. All right, Bible students, who can tell me what oil is a type of in the scriptures? The Holy Spirit. You watch for when you're reading your scriptures, there is oil everywhere. Oil. Because God is teaching us the necessity of His Holy Spirit helping us in our life. And in the Old Testament tabernacle, they had oil. I'm not talking about, you know, 20W50 or anything. I'm just talking about olive oil or some other type of oil, that there was oil that was in the Old Testament tabernacle. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, where Samuel went to anoint the next king of Israel, a young boy named David, the scriptures tell us that he took the horn of oil and he anointed David, which was symbolic of the anointing of God's Holy Spirit upon that young man. But I've asked you to turn to Psalm 133. Listen to the sweetness of these first two verses. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment. Now, that ointment would have been made from an oil substance. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down on the beard, even Aaron's beard, and it went down to the skirts of his garments. There was oil that was used to anoint the high priest of God. And it wasn't just a little spoonful. They poured it on his head. It ran down upon his beard. And verse 2 says it ran down to the skirts of his garments because God wanted an overflowing abundance of his spirit to be upon those who served. And it's just wonderful how it's talking about the unity and the precious ointment and all of the fullness and the richness of that. And you and I need the fullness of God's Spirit in our life. As Pastor Mark pointed out this morning, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. You see, it's the abundance of God's Spirit in our heart that's working in our hearts and lives that keeps Satan at bay. It keeps him from those opportunities of introducing those corrosive things into our life. It keeps him from the Holy Spirit's presence in our life keeps Satan from those opportunities where he craftily opens a door and throws in a handful of nuts and bolts into our life to jam up everything. And please bear with me. You know, I have a minivan that's 18 years old. It has 290,000 miles on it. It has the original wheel bearings. I just knew that would bless your heart, and that I expected to hear more amens on that point. But the point is this, that as those wheel bearings have rotated millions upon millions upon millions of times, where you have metal bearings that are less than the thickness of a sheet of paper away from a metal race, it would be called, the groove in which they ride, one little thing has kept those two pieces of metal from wearing each other out. It's a little film of grease. Again, that oil. And you see, we could apply more that to other things, but I just want to say this, that you and I need the lubrication of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. Where there's a rub. A rub maybe between a brother and a sister or two brothers in church, or a rub within a family or whatever it may be. Letting the Holy Spirit lubricate. Keep things to where they don't get us all jacked up and jammed up and heated up over things that in eternity will have no significance whatsoever. That is so good. And he can help us. So we need lubrication. Lubrication will help us from getting worn out. A second thing that will help us from getting worn out, knowing our purpose. Knowing our purpose. Well, what does that mean? Well, know what God has designed you to do. And then give yourself into the Lord's hands so that he can do it through you with all of his might. I'm just going to give you this assignment to read because of of the time frame here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 30, and then Ephesians chapter 4 are talking about spiritual gifts. When God saved you and the Spirit of God placed you into the local body of believers, God gave you a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. Something that you can do that can be of benefit to this body. And it uses the analogy there of the eye and the ear and the foot and the hand and so forth there in the scriptures. And it may be that God just wants you to be a good pinky and to help in some way, in a way that a thumb can't do it, or that a foot can't do it, or that the head can't do it, but the pinky can do it. And I don't know how to make all that application, but I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit of God knows how to do all of that. And I encourage you to do this. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, find out what it is. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is, and then ask His help for you to do it with all of your might for the glory of God, for the benefit of this body of believers, and for the increase of God's kingdom. And, well, I don't want to be a little finger. I want to be the head. Well, you can go ahead and try to be the head. But God will not give us the strength to do those things that He has not assigned us to do. The strength that God gives us, that full measure of strength, comes from doing those things which God has appointed us to do in our homes, at our job, and in our church. So, lubrication, which is indicative of the Holy Spirit, knowing our purpose, which is talking about knowing our spiritual gift, and then this last thought here, something that can help keep us from wearing out. Maintenance. Maintenance. Tune-ups. Tune-ups. You know, one of the things that my wife and I were so attracted to Faith Baptist Church in Jefferson City, Tennessee, is the richness of the pulpit ministry there. The teaching ministry through the Sunday school all the way to the pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We have been there 8 years now. We have grown spiritually in ways that we didn't even know we needed growing. And how that the Word of God is tuning us up, sitting under the sound of God's Word on a regular basis is tuning us up. So when we talk about maintenance, we're talking about tune-ups, we're talking about cleaning. Then I can add this last thought here. Inspection. Inspection is a part of maintenance. Is it Brother Gary? Okay, aircraft man. Okay, inspection is a regular part of aircraft maintenance. Am I right? And whether it's a piston engine or a jet engine is inspecting the turbines and pumps and hoses and all of these things so that something is not wearing out little by little, and it's just almost to the breaking point, and then it takes off. That plane takes off with 200, 300 people on board, and then that last little bit of that fuel line finishes chafing, rubbing through, and multitudes go to their death. And I'm just giving you this message here tonight just because I believe that Satan is working overtime to wear us out. And he's not just wearing out preachers and missionaries. He wants to wear out everyone here. Young people, he wants to wear you out before you even get a good start in the race. And so I'm encouraging you tonight to give some thought of being guarded against these things that wear out people and churches, and then letting God do a work of grace and restoration in your life to where you become, where you have that serve, you serve the Lord. I was talking with Miss Alice this morning, 50 years, 50 years, she's still here singing in the choir. And listen, that we would just keep, we'd be like the Energizer Bunny. We would keep going and going and going for God's honor and glory. And Pastor Waddell, I'm going to turn this back to you, and I thank you all for your kind attention.